Welcome to It's All Journalism. I'm Jolie Lee, joined by Mike O'Connell. Today we're talking about mobile reporting and to one D.C. radio journalist who's taken that concept to the extreme. Neil Augenstein has been a reporter at WTOP since 1997. Full disclosure, Mike and I work at Federal News Radio, which is a sister station to WTOP. Over 2 years ago, Neil packed away his laptops, mics, cables, and recorders, and now he relies only on his iPhone for field production. That's recording, editing, filing his story, all from one device. Neil became the first radio reporter in a major market to do that. Since then, he's offered iPhone reporting tips to other journalists, and he's here now to share some with us. Welcome, Neil.
Hello there.
So, first off, you went all iPhone back in February 2010, is that right?
Correct.
And what was your reason for doing that?
Well, we've been waiting for a few years to be able to make filing from the field a little bit easier. Just to flashback, at the time, we had laptops, we had mini-disc recorders, we had microphones, we had still cameras, we had video cameras, which I guess were mostly the flip variety. But it was always such a production to file something. It meant booting up a laptop and waiting for that to happen, then transferring the material from your recorder to the laptop. There was good editing software on the computer, but it did take a lot of time. So when iPhone came out, and one particular application that allowed multi-track editing, that was the point where I was able to say, you know, this could be the thing that we're waiting for. And now that we are able to do all the production that we could do on a laptop on a single device. Of course, that has a lot of benefits. You can, as soon as you're done doing the interview, you can immediately switch to editing mode, and you can pull a few cuts and email them immediately. You can do a full-blown wrap that you would do on a laptop. You can do it on your phone. And, of course, you can send pictures, you can send videos, you can write your script, you can do all the social media. And just being able to do it all on one device really has streamlined the entire process.
Do you see any quality deterioration with using the iPhone versus an audio recorder?
Yeah, I estimate that the built-in microphone of the iPhone 4, which is, I'm using now, the sound quality is about 92% as good as if I were using a Shure microphone with a digital recorder. So it's not exactly as, you know, it's not exactly the same. That being said, by the time the material is processed and runs through the radio station's audio chain, I don't believe that listeners at home can sense any difference. No one has ever said to me, Neil, your reports sound different than the other reports on the station. And I take that as a good sign that by the time it gets to the end user, it sounds about the same.
Can you give us an example of a story that you went out on that just by having one device, it sort of simplified and made it easier for you to cover something?
Well, I mean, every story. What's been interesting with this is that not only is the simple act of filing a wrap changed, it's also changed the sort of my workflow. You know, you'll remember in the old days when a radio reporter went to a scene, you would look for a public information person and get some sound and be told what's going on. These days, when you get to the scene, let's say I was covering a house fire, I would shoot video of the house as it was burning because, of course, a house only burns once. And you're not going to be able to go back and get the the video a little later. So I might shoot that video right there. I might even immediately tweet some video of where I am. Not a full-blown produced video, but just 15 seconds that would, you know, bring the viewers to the scene and let them know what's going on. Then I might take a few pictures. Then if the PIO stumbles upon me, I'll do a brief audio interview, and then I'll maybe shoot a few more pictures and tweet those. So it's really changing the way that I gather news. I'm not sure 100% that it's because I'm using an iPhone. It may be that the media world changes and the demands are that you post in different ways,
multiple platforms,
right? But having it all on one device sure does make it easier.
So you give the example of a fire and you're going to a scene of an event where you say that it affects the way that you gather news. Have you seen any alteration in your actual production and writing? The end result? I mean, has the reports you've been turning in, have they been different, you think?
I think they probably are slightly different. I think that, I know that the swipes and fades and all the things that you can do on a smartphone, it's a little more difficult to do than on a desktop. So maybe my desktop production would be a little more involved. But the application that I use is by a company called Vericorder, and I use what's called the First Video app, which has multi-track audio, multi-track video, and also allows for slideshows. But I can very quickly put together my voice track, edit it with a couple of sound bites, drop in some natural sound underneath it. And with a couple of years' practice, it's almost as fast as if I were doing it on my desktop.
So when you're in the field, you know, when you say there's an iPhone, but you also have a microphone that you use to hook up to your phone?
I have tested several plug-in microphones. There is the capability of plugging in a standard, you know, for instance, mm-hmm. a Shure microphone through an XLR adapter cable into the iPhone. And that would allow you to do that. I will say, though, that the sound quality of the built-in microphone, mm-hmm. I find to be better, richer, more, you know, there's more bass, more presence than introducing the XLR adapter cable and the, for instance, Shure microphone. So I generally will choose to use the built-in the built-in microphone. There are some challenges with that. It's very susceptible to wind, so you have to have some sort of a windscreen. Unfortunately, no one makes a windscreen for the iPhone. So I just bought a very cheap $2 windscreen at the guitar store, and just jammed the phone into that, and I've covered hurricanes with that. So it does. You know, cut out enough wind to let you do your work.
So you're talking up the photography and the audio quality of the iPhone. It sounds like you're on the Apple payroll with this.
Apple doesn't know that I exist. I would love it if they did know that I exist, but I've never gotten anything from Apple. I've never gotten a free app from anybody. But that's one of the good things about this whole thing.
You're an ethical journalist.
Well, one of the good things about this is that we're talking about consumer electronics. So, it only costs a couple bucks for an app. Very different than having to spend $60, $200 for a piece of hardware to try it.
I mean, it sounds great, but why do you think more, especially radio journalists, aren't moving in this direction? Do you think it is because it takes more time to do the editing, or like what other challenges have you run into?
As for why more people aren't doing it, I don't know. I think that sort of the way things always, it's not the way that we used to do it. is something that's repeated in a lot of radio newsrooms.
Yeah.
It is a little bit of a challenge to keep it charged. So I have several chargers with me, and I'm always charging when I'm in a car, when I'm in a when I'm in a room. So I'm constantly doing that. There are some times I think some reporters probably are afraid that they wouldn't be taken seriously if they held a phone up in front of a in front of a newsmaker. But I will often, if someone looks at me quizzically, I'll explain that, you know, we want to make you sound good, and this is going to make you sound as if we were talking with a you know, with a studio microphone, and that usually calms them.
I know when I worked at the weekly newspaper that I was at, that I didn't record sound, but I certainly used the iPhone in a pinch for, you know, taking pictures of things that I came upon, and was quite pleased with the quality of it. Again, we're not here necessarily to advertise Apple products, or more just the way to take these new tools and sort of utilize them for what we do every day. We sort of talked about,
I will say that as much as I've hoped and looked for Droid-based products, there really isn't. I haven't found any Droid-based products that will allow the same sort of multi-track recording that several different apps can do on an iPhone. There are a few that allow sort of multi-track layering, but that's sort of more of a the way a musician might use, you know, like for instance with overdubs. But what this particular app does is allows sort of the linear, from left to right, if you will, editing that's necessary for a journalistic piece, in which you get the flow of the piece, and you can shorten sound bites and lay something underneath the entire package.
Now, are you using it for everything that you do?
Everything in the field.
Everything in the field. But you still, you bring people in and interview them here using the equipment, etc.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. There's, it is easier to work with a mouse than to, and if I ever forgot my glasses, I'd be in real problems.
What about the? I know we talked about the limitations of the battery. I know with my iPhone, I have that face it all the time. Just, you know, walking around and not covering things. I can imagine how quickly you drain the battery if you're at a site and doing something. What about the coverage? Or have you run into that much where you're losing signal?
There's only been one time and one place in this area. I happen to have AT&T coverage, so it's probably a little bit different with Verizon. When I get out towards Front Royal, there've been a couple times when I wasn't able to get enough of a signal to transmit anything. One of the challenges of this is to figure out plan A, plan B, and plan C. You do have to assume that there are going to be times when you don't have a good signal. So emailing a full report can be difficult and time consuming, if not impossible. In cases like that, there are other ways of getting the material off your phone. For instance, tweeting it. And you can upload something to Twitter much faster than you can email a large file. So for instance, I use the SoundCloud application, which with just a couple of taps, I can upload a large amount of material to that website, similar to YouTube. But it's just audio, and then I'll get a URL which I can share easily with the newsroom or with my Twitter followers or anybody.
You are a radio journalist, but the way you're talking about it also sounds like you're thinking digitally first. And I'm wondering, since using the iPhone, you've really shifted to reporting that way, where you're delivering content to the web team even before it gets on air,
and also via social media as well.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's something that at WTOP we've ever since the web since we started having the website, and I don't remember what year that was
18-aught something.
but we very much had a we are they are we mentality where you weren't allowed to say, well, this is for the radio station. You had to share it with the web folks. So we were doing multi-platform reporting before the phrase was coined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I guess I'm lucky in that I've been sort of thinking that way. What has changed and continues to change, as you mentioned, is the belief and the understanding that it doesn't really matter how your audience gets the material, whether they hear it on the radio, whether they read it on the website, whether they get it from me on Twitter. It's all the same brand. So it's really important to realize that it doesn't matter how they get it, just as long as they get it.
And we know that there are a lot of people who, you know, are not in the same position you are, that are kind of struggling in newsrooms where, you know, when should we tweet? You know, should we tweet something before we put it online? Should we put something online before it appears in the paper? I mean, there's a lot of that dialogue going on, but you seem to be, you know, you're there, you're covering something, you know, you're going to tweet people to let them know that you're on the scene and here's some information, here's some video, here's some audio. And then it's through the whole process that you're taking from the field, reporting from the field, and then developing your story and delivering later.
You know, if someone has a newspaper where they expect people to pay for it to get it, you know, I can see it might be worth them to have that discussion. But the reality is that if people don't get the information immediately from the newspaper, you know, from the newspaper's Twitter feed, they're going to get it from someplace else. So it's a reputation building, relationship building practice with your consumers that, you know, you can say, well, let's get this information out on Twitter right now. We'll get it up on the website shortly, and you can read about, you know, you can read more about it tomorrow morning in the newspaper.
Yeah, and I think the one word that you said that I think is important is brand. That we're not so much just, you know, just reporting a story, but we're also sort of developing in our readers an understanding that we're a place to come to for what a particular story is, or and that they know that, you know, maybe you're not going to have the whole story when they tweet something. But they know something's coming. They know the grain of the seed of the story, and then they can keep coming back. And eventually, it drives you traffic to the website, et cetera, to the radio station, et cetera.
I think you hit upon it. People are with their phone more than they're with the radio, more than they read the newspaper, more than they're in front of their computer. You always have your phone with you. I go to sleep with my phone next to me, which,
well, your unnatural relationship with your phone.
It's on the floor charging. But
okay.
the point being is that whenever I want to be connected with anyone, whenever I want to learn anything, my phone is there. So it really is the biggest, in my opinion, untapped way of connecting with the audience and building audience loyalty. Is that, you know, figure out what it is they want on their phone and make it available to them there. And they'll always be with you. They'll always feel that you're holding their hand because they know that you'll provide information to them as soon as you know it in a variety of different ways.
Yeah, it's the beauty of mobility, but not just the phone, but also tablets, just that. You know, that access, that information is there so quickly. You know, we talked quite a lot about the benefits and everything. Should journalists be doing this? I mean, do we need to really be thinking about, you know, quality? When should people be doing this?
You know, for example, like you were saying, you can shoot video, you can take photos on the iPhone, but that's not necessarily going to be as high quality as taking a video camera out. And how do you make the decision, okay, I'm going to, you know, upload this clip versus put more production into it, maybe bring someone out from the web team out with you?
Well, I think that at our station, the belief was that we didn't want to spend hours and hours doing full-blown web production generally. We used to do that. It didn't help us because it would take a person out of the mix for an entire day. Generally, the finished piece wouldn't post until the next day, so it was late. And I think that over time, research has shown that what people will click on is the one golden moment. You know, they want to see the, you know, they want to see the moment where the beauty queen slips and falls. They don't want to see a full blown production piece on the beauty queen. They just want to see that one mm-hmm. golden moment. So that's usually something that I can capture on the phone.
And we should probably also clarify the fact that, because not everybody who's listening to this is in the Washington, D.C. area, the WTOP is a 24-hour news station. So your news cycle is like every second, that you've got some stuff that's being updated all the time throughout the day. So whereas other people are in different cycles. But of course, with the 24-hour news cycle of the internet, these sort of distinctions may not be so much of a thing in the future.
I wish that I could, and I'm sure I could. I wish that I was able to do more involved video editing. I wish I was talented enough, and I wish I knew the strategies of shooting video and cutting it together, and that I at this point I don't know how to do that. So I'm guessing, I'm approximating, I'm doing what seems to be what other news organizations, far more learned and technically savvy people than I are doing. But in some ways we're sort of inventing as we go. So is a slightly wobbly, quickly edited video piece that's up 2 hours before a beautifully produced piece more valuable? I think it's up for discussion.
Well, and that's the root of a lot of philosophical questions. There are people who are, professional photographers, professional videographers, who would argue that that there's some value in going longer form and having that extra production time. I don't necessarily think you're the person to talk this through, because you're a 24-hour radio guy, but.
I thought you were going to say hack, but.
No. I mean, we all do things in different ways, and journalism isn't just one beast. It's many different beasts. Mm-hmm. What's funny is that, as you said, we're inventing this as we're going along. Suddenly here's this tool where you suddenly realize that you could leave your heavy bag behind you, and in one way it liberates you. It takes you into the field, and you're able to report with one device. I think that's definitely a plus, and you should be credited at least for, making that attempt and going out and finding new things. I think that's a real admirable trait, because there are plenty of people, you said before, that are just like, oh, we've never done that. That's not the way we do it. But, it's the pioneers that get us somewhere.
And it's almost like you're kind of becoming this jack of all trades now, because you're doing so many different things outside of just the audio. Like, do you feel like you're trying to do a little bit of everything?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I in the last couple of years, I've found that I'm enjoying the writing process a lot more than I used to. I'd written stories before when I used to work for a wire service, but now the whole art, if you will, of writing a catchy web piece quickly and accurately, and writing in a way that people might click on it, I find that to be very challenging. So in addition to the sort of the audio piece of it, I'm enjoying that. The whole social media phenomenon is fascinating and powerful and still in many ways young and partially untapped. Mm-hmm. So that's going to continue to change.
Let's just talk social media for a second here. How do you use social media during a day? Is it are you going through constantly? Are you just doing it with stories? Are you tracking down sources?
I try to communicate with followers several times a day. Sometimes on stories that I'm working on. Sometimes on a music video that I just saw and loved. Actually, I think in many ways that sort of conversation is the most valuable, because you really are building a relationship with your mm-hmm. followers. Some reporters and journalists follow very few people. You know, you look at their Twitter followers. You know, it's, you know, they've got 10,000 followers, and they're following 20 people. I think that's a waste, and I think that's an insult, and doesn't really and doesn't understand the what Twitter is about. Being able to say to a listener or follower, what you have to say is important to me. I want to, you know, I want you to know that you can reach me whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that is, that's almost like, for a reporter, that's almost like making a personal appearance in the person's living room.
Right.
And that, you know, they, and once, you agree to follow someone, I think in many times you've made a you've made a fan and a partner for life.
Yeah, partner definitely. I mean that's one of the things I know that people that I followed, you know, even quote unquote famous people, if they retweet something that you do, you know, there seems to be that sort of connection. And it doesn't even have to be famous. Just somebody doing that, it sort of makes it feel like you're just not just throwing stuff out there, but you're actually communicating stuff. And have you had opportunities where you've gotten tips on stories and things like that?
There have been a few times when people have unsolicited sent me stuff. But here's another example of how I sometimes use it. There'll be a time when someone will say in the newsroom, "Hey, someone just said that they see smoke over downtown." I may start heading to my car. I'll tweet, you know, "Anyone seeing smoke downtown? You know, send us a message." And so sometimes, you know, by the time I get to the car and by the time mm-hmm. I get downtown, I have some idea of what, you know, what the building is. You know, maybe even that people have been evacuated. So that is a good way to pull information in.
Now you wrote a story for PBS.org about a short video about how you you use your iPhone to report. Now you offer training or opportunities to show other people how to do stuff, other journalists.
I do sometimes do webinars and Skype conversations and do. Training that way. I used to do more regular training webinars. To be honest, I was not able to get enough people interested, and I was surprised by that, to make it worthwhile. I think it was 10 or 20 bucks for an hour and a half of training that I thought was a fair price. Maybe the, you know, the monetization of webinars, you know, maybe that's something that I should study a little bit more. It seemed like a good idea. Since then, I do periodically, do training for, in colleges and, you know, college journalists seem actually kind of a lot more interested in it mm-hmm. than people who are already in the business. But it's, you know, thankfully with the technology, you can do FaceTime with someone and give a pretty good demonstration in relatively short period of time.
You think you're going to pick up the iPhone 5?
Oh, absolutely. I'm waiting for it to arrive.
That was Neil Augenstein, a reporter at WTOP Radio in Washington, D.C. He's been using an iPhone for all his field production since February 2010. You can listen to more It's All Journalism podcasts at itsalljournalism.com.